Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show.
Oh, wow. Isn't that great?
It is pretty great.
With Bob.
What can he do?
Lord knows. All remains to be seen. He's a mass of potential.
And Sherry.
Whoa, live one.
And now, from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Gateway to the Weekend, everybody. Welcome to the show. Woo! We are having La Barbecue 23 this Saturday night on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page starting at 6:30 Eastern. So join us for that. And I want to kick off today's show with a surprising story. You know how you're always hearing about these people going bonkers on flights and acting like maniacs and they get arrested and taken off in the plastic handcuffs, but then you never hear what happens next? Like, where's the rest of the story? Guys, I have the rest of the story. Last April, on a flight from Buffalo, New York to Chicago, a woman named Cynthia McKnight became irate after flight attendants asked her to put away her phone because it was time to take off. You know how they want you to put your phone in airplane mode or whatnot. And Cynthia, I guess, was having a conversation and did not want to put her phone down. So she began arguing with the flight attendants. Then she got into an argument with a passenger. Then she spit on another passenger. And as the aircraft was forced to return to the gate, she opened the emergency door, yanked the cord for the inflatable slide, and rode the slide down to the tarmac.
Oh, my word. That is so disrespectful. What happened then?
A guy named Spencer Brown, if you're a football fan, that name might ring a bell. He plays for the Buffalo Bills. He happened to be on board the flight, and he live-tweeted the whole thing. He tweeted, quote, sitting on a plane, a lady is pissed. Lady pulls the emergency inflatable side to escape the plane. Lady is running wild through the tarmac. Cops have arrived. Flight ruined. Memories made. I love this guy.
That's the attitude.
After the incident, because we got the slide hanging off the side of the plane, the flight was taken out of service, and the 65 passengers on board who had all of their travel plans snarled had to be rerouted rebooking all those passengers and replacing the emergency slide. That's $50,000 worth of trouble for American Airlines. So Cynthia McKnight is going to court. And she has been found guilty of rampaging on an airplane. She's been sentenced to time served and 3 months probation. And she has to write a check for $42,128 in restitution.
Oh, my word. Well, that's right. She should do that. Let me ask you, do you think if you got that mad, you could figure out how to get that slide to open?
Well, it deploys automatically if you push the button. Like, you don't have to blow it up or anything.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
So you just need to go over to the door and push the button. That's all. Yeah. That's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And now Cynthia was bad. You know, she was yelling, she was spitting, she was deploying the emergency slide. But I'll remind you that back in January, a VP at Wells Fargo was fired from his job after he was accused of literally urinating on a 72-year-old woman on a flight from New York to Mumbai.
Oh, my.
I don't remember that one. Maybe I just blocked it from my memory. It was just so horrible.
So horrible. Yeah. We've had a 47. I went and looked to see, like, what's with all the crazy on the plane? We've had a 47% increase in crazy on the plane. That's... Since 2021, just in less than 2 years, we've had a 47% increase. But maybe if people realize that, you can pull the emergency slide and you can spit on people and you can yell about not wanting to hang up your phone, but you're going to go to jail for a while and you're going to get charged $42,128. Maybe that will convince people to behave.
why are people all of a sudden out of the blue in the last? I mean, I think they've been behaving since before COVID poorly on planes. Most of us not, but there just seemed to be an uptick of inappropriate behavior, fights, and surliness toward the flight attendants. Why at this period in our history is this happening? I wonder right
because now. Because the very thin veneer of civilization is being scraped off of us bit by bit. You know,
it
makes me
be,
think of that lyric from the Smashing Pumpkins. With all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. I think people feel like that. And when animals are piled up on top of each other and stressed for resources, they can turn on each other. And I think that my girl here, Cynthia McKnight, I don't know. I hate talking on the phone. Any excuse to hang up is a good excuse for me. I don't know what was happening on the other end of that conversation, but for Cynthia, it was worth going to jail and paying a $42,000 fine. Whoa.
Let me tell you, the only thing I can think about is Spencer Brown, the offensive lineman who videotaped that.
Yeah.
He's
making memories.
He is 6'8", 311 pounds. I am never going to complain about a small airline seat again.
No. And what I love about Spencer, glass half full of a memorable time for him. That's the attitude.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. We got morons in the news coming up and comedian Rita Rudner and... Are we actually now admitting that we're not alone in the universe? That's the government saying. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
We have partnered with Carol's Sausage and Country Store to make your summer fun and delicious. It's a simple way to win. Just go to the Bob and Sherry contest page at bobandsherry.com.
You could be a weekly winner of a Carol Sausage prize pack, including a cooler bag, a beach blanket, and a $50 Carol Slather Burger Fixin' Certificate.
Check out the mouthwatering selection of sausage and meats at carolsausage.com. That's carolsausage.com. And good luck from Carol Sausage and Bob and Sherry.
Bob asked me, why do I think that people are going so bonkers on airplanes and spitting on each other, urinating on each other. And I think it's because all of the stresses in our world are scraping away our thin veneer of civilization. And I have another piece of evidence I would like to present to the court to prove that case. Are you ready?
Here okay.
we go. So, you know, earlier this week, Apple had their, I don't know what they call it, their meeting or their summit or something, where they announce new Apple technology. And the big thing that they launched was this Vision Pro headset, right?
Right.
But they also quietly, after all of the, like, oh, it's the Apple Vision Pro headset, whatever the hell that's going to do for you. But after that, then they quietly announced another big innovation. And this is Exhibit A in veneer of civilization being scraped off. Apple has announced that they have a new update coming in iOS, the iOS 17 update, which will stop autocorrect from changing certain words to ducking. That's right. They have taught the iPhone. They have taught the iPhone profanity so that you will never again send "this ducking meeting is taking forever" to a coworker.
Really? They set it free.
Yep.
Wow. So that's really kind of interesting that they made a decision along those lines. Was the decision made just from a business standpoint that, you know, language is what language is today, and that we're fighting a battle we can never win? What were you going to say?
Let me quote the chief of software at Apple. His name is Craig Federighi, and he said this, quote, "In those moments where you just want to type a ducking word, well, the keyboard will learn that and autocorrect will stop changing your profanity to other words." So this was what we call an on purpose. They did this on purpose because people were irritated.
Aggravated.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is that? Does that say something about us as a species that we have perhaps fallen a bit, that our language now, it's so common to use these words that you have to acquiesce if you're a business like
Apple? Can I just say, I've had this happen to me and I sent it as ducking
And
oh yeah,
it takes
duck,
all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it takes all the teeth out of your anger.
What the duck?
It was a stupid ducking guy.
It does.
What the duck kind of thing is that to send me, Kevin?
So I've had yeah. this happen.
Yeah. Well, Bob, did tell you this was Exhibit A and the veneer of civilization being scraped off. It really
I know.
Was,
yeah. I know. Yeah. I know.
And here's another thing in the update that I think people are going to love. This is actually one that I think you're going to like, especially if you hate talking on the phone and you want to avoid people as much as possible. Here we go. They're going to have a live voicemail feature that will be transcribing the voicemail directly onto the display. So you can decide to pick up that call mid-voicemail message or ignore it completely. So the phone is ringing, you're at work, you can't answer it. The person is leaving you a message, and the new update will be showing you the message in real time. So let's say it's an emergency at home, you could dive onto the phone and pick it up. Or not, depending on what you feel like doing.
That's interesting.
Duck in A.
Yeah, you know what? I'm telling you.
Yeah. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is brought to you by Indeed. Attract, interview, and hire at Indeed.com/credit.
Bob and Sherry.
You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot.
With Morons in the News.
Highwaymen is a terrific movie. It stars Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner as two Midwestern police officers who are after Bonnie and Clyde. Way back in the 1930s. And there's a fantastic scene where Bonnie and Clyde are in one of those black cars and they're running from the law. And there's like four or five police cars chasing them. And the driver of Bonnie and Clyde's car says, "I'm going into that cornfield." And he pulls a hard right. And as soon as he hits the cornfield, the corn has not come up yet. So it's mostly dirt and dust. All the dust goes up in the air. And the officers can't find the car. And the Bonnie and Clyde car keeps making circles, just putting more dust in the air. And they whoop and get out back on the highway, and they have left the law behind. This is what the footage shows, dash cam footage that I just sent to Doc, and we're going to post to bobandsherry.com, involving an hour-long chase. Some guy whose name is Chad Murdoch stole a school bus. A school bus. I don't know why, but he decided to hijack the school bus in Illinois and drove about 75 miles an hour. Six cop cars are chasing this guy. He suddenly realizes they're going to put down those sticks or something. I got to make a move. And he takes the bus into the cornfield. The dust is in the air. The dirt is in the air. And you see the point of view from the cop's car that he can't see one thing at all. The bus has totally camouflaged itself, and the cop car has to go wide in order to be able to see and pick him up. Anyway, long story short, eventually they got two cars that kind of pinned in the bus, and the bus had to come to a stop, and they arrested the guy. We still don't know what he was going to do with the bus. It's going to be a hard thing to sell. It's not like selling a Honda. You're going to be easily identified. It's bright yellow and large.
It's not my first pick for a getaway vehicle.
No.
It doesn't seem very nimble or inconspicuous. But I'm
he
impressed
just couldn't
that
he resist.
Got it up to 75 miles an hour. I thought they had governors or something on those motors so that you couldn't take the kids on a wild joyride like that.
He was hauling, and he's arrested and in jail right now. It is footage. Go to bobandsherry.com.
That's our moron of the day, and we'll actually post that up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Our next moron has a guardian angel, and he got really lucky, which means he'll be making another appearance at some point in the future in Morons in the News, because it's going to make him cocky. This happened in Tampa at Busch Gardens Alligator Habitat. The guy jumped into the enclosure with the gator. Another park guest said he was within 5 feet. You know, because he was rolling some video for his social media. Didn't want the fences and the walls to make the video not great. You know, you're not going to go viral on TikTok with a crappy video. So he shot the gators, and the gators didn't attack him, mostly because they were so shocked that anybody was stupid enough to jump into their enclosure. He yeah. got back out, and Busch Gardens said he violated park policy. I love this. Busch Gardens said, we have signs. Hey, Busch Gardens.
I don't care about your stinking signs. Signs.
Busch Gardens, we kicked off today's show with a woman who spat on a passenger, threw the door of the plane open, and deflated the emergency slide. Signs don't work anymore in America. We need more than signs.
Right.
So we'll see. This boy will show up again in Morons in the News. Got no sense at all coming up. It is Throwback Thursday, so we're going to throw it back with one of the great stand-up comedians, Rita Rudner. We've got Bob and Sherry's Small Plates and Lake Cow Meat. What is Lake Cow? America almost became a nation of Lake Cow farmers. That's going to be fun. It's all coming up for you on your gateway to the weekend. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, it was a bad day at work for food inspector Rajesh Vishwas. This happened in New Delhi in India. He dropped his smartphone into the Kirkata Dam. And he asked local divers if they could jump into the reservoir to find his smartphone. He said that it had sensitive government data on it, but the divers were unable to get the smartphone. So using his connections, because he's a government employee and a pretty highly ranking one, he arranged to have the reservoir drained.
What?
So that he could get his smartphone.
What? Wow.
And I now will tell you,
what is how did teenage girl?
How did he drop his smartphone? He was taking a selfie.
Of course.
As the reservoir was being drained, they were using diesel pumps draining the reservoir. A nearby townsperson rolled video on Mr. Vishwas sitting under a red umbrella, you know, for sun protection, watching the reservoir getting drained. He lied to the local media and said that the reason they were draining the reservoir was because it was unusable for irrigation and he had to drain it. But the truth of it was, he was draining it to get his Samsung smartphone, which, of course, by the time they fished it out, didn't work at all because it had been sitting at the bottom of the freaking reservoir. India is one of the most water-stressed countries in the entire world.
Right.
There have been severe water scarcities, crop losses, forest fires, and cuts to power. And this yahoo drains the entire reservoir to get his phone like a numbskull. He's been suspended from work, but he needs to be punched in the face for being an idiot.
He does.
Because there's no one who thinks there's enough rice in the entire world to suck the water out of a phone that's been sitting at the bottom of a reservoir for an entire day. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10. Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Bob and Sherry's Everyone Needs a Laugh is brought to you by eBay. It is Throwback Thursday on Bob and Sherry's Everyone Needs a Laugh, and here's Rita Rudner.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be back here. Boy, Montreal is kind of a milestone for me. The first time I came to Montreal, I just got married, and now I've been married for 8 years. I know, boy. Time flies when you're driving someone crazy. We do have problems in our marriage. Neither one of us is handy. We had a flat tire. We looked so pathetic standing on the side of the road. Finally, a little old lady stopped and changed the tire for us. And this is something very important that nobody tells you. If you're thinking of marrying someone, please make sure before you take that final step that one of you kills bugs? It's so important. We've married each other. Neither one of us performs that function. A bug walks in our house. We just stand there and stare at it till it becomes so uncomfortable it leaves. We have our jobs that we do in our marriage. I take out the garbage. What's your name right here? Sharon, you know why I take out the garbage? Because the first week we were married, I accidentally took out the garbage. You have to be so careful what you do that first week. Men and women are very different. Women remember everything. Men forget everything. That's why they have instant replays. They forgot what just happened. Men like cars, women like clothes. See, I only like cars because they take me to clothes. My husband loves his car. What's your name right here in the front? Hello, Angelo. Do you love your car, Angelo? See, Angelo loves his car. I knew that. What kind of car do you have, Angelo? A Seville. Ask me what kind of car I have, Angelo. I have a white car. That's all I need to know, Angelo. It goes with everything. My husband loves his car so much it makes noises only he can hear. We'll be driving along and he'll say, "There. There's the rattle. You hear it?" And I don't hear it. I want to hear it. I try to hear it. Once I lied and said I heard it. He said, "No, that's not it." He has two beliefs in life. He believes in God, and he believes that when the gas gauge is on empty, he still has a quarter of a tank. He thinks the E stands for, there's still some left. And my car has what I thought was an optional feature, but I guess it's a standard because it was on my last car too. It has a rotating gas tank. Whatever side of the pump I pull up onto, it's on the other side. And I hate self-service gas stations so much I shouldn't have to do that. I'm not qualified. I was driving by myself to a formal occasion once. I pulled over. It was all self-service. I'm standing there in the middle of the night in an evening gown pumping gas. I look like the gas fairy. I usually get two jobs when we go on trips in the car. These jobs could sound familiar to the women in the audience. I get to read the map. Yes. Thank you. And I get to get out and ask for directions after we get lost. Because he panics so badly when we get lost. I don't panic when I get lost. I just change where it is that I want to go. But to him, it's such a big deal. We make a right instead of a left. That's it. It's over. There's no going back. We'll just have to continue on around the world now. Why can't he go back? Why is there so much shame attached to going back? Angelo, he would rather never get there than go back. And he puts too much pressure on me. He scares me. He goes, "Quick, quick, come on, which way do we go? Come on. East or west? East or west? You have the map." And here's the kicker. I can't do everything. And we have been married for quite a while now, so you know what happens. We began to long for the pitter-patter of little feet. So I do have an announcement tonight. We got a dog. Well, it's cheaper and you get more feet. And this is another thing I didn't know. Men teach dogs totally different tricks than women teach dogs. My husband came home, I said, "Look, I taught him to sit." I came home, my husband said, "Look, if you put him on the roof and light his tail, he jumps into the pool." Thank you very much.
Oh, she is just so amazing. That is just one of the greatest styles of delivery of comedy of anybody that I think I've ever heard. I just
love it. It's so distinctive. You know exactly who you're listening to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's our classic TBT clip for today. We'll post it up at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Take your 4th of July to the next level. Bob and Sherry and Carol Sausage and Country Store are bringing you a grilling and chilling summer of fun. Visit BobandSherry.com for your chance to win a party-ready cool packed with tons of fun, including a $50 Carol Slather Burger Fixin' Certificate. Carol's has everything you need to make your 4th of July the hottest ticket ever. Stock up now at www.carolsausage.com and use promo code BobAndSherry15.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobAndSherry.com.
Well, I'm surprised this wasn't a bigger news story. It's something that I've been focused on since Monday morning, and it's something I've driven Max and Bob and Doc crazy with, but a guy named David Grush, he's a former U.S. intelligence officer. He's a decorated combat veteran. He served in Afghanistan. He worked for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. He's come forward as a whistleblower. He says he's provided Congress and the intelligence community inspector general with classified information regarding covert programs that involve the retrieval of intact and partially intact vehicles of non-human origin, aka UFOs, aka UAPs. And another U.S. intelligence officer, Jonathan Gray, came out on Monday and said, "We're not alone. And we need to get our heads around that." So David Grush was interviewed on Monday night, I think it was, on News Nation, and I watched it. And I want to thank all of our listeners because hundreds of people have sent me the link. And we just have a little clip right here.
You are saying to the human race, for the first time, an official intelligence representative at a high level from the U.S. government is saying publicly, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone, yeah.
Do we have bodies? Do we have species of
non-human? Well, naturally, when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots. And believe it or not, as fantastical as that sounds, it's true.
Okay, Grush filed a whistleblower complaint, like I told you, and this is what he told News Nation. There is a sophisticated disinformation campaign targeting the U.S. populace, which is extremely unethical and immoral. Department of Defense has released a statement that reads, in part, to date, the AARO, which is the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office in the Pentagon, has not discovered any verifiable information to substantiate claims that any programs regarding the possession or reverse engineering of extraterrestrial materials have existed in the past or exist currently. AARO is committed to following the data and its investigation wherever it leads.
So Jonathan Gray, who's a U.S. intelligence officer at the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, said, quote, "The non-human intelligence phenomenon is real. We are not alone. Also, retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon, and yet a global solution continues to elude us. It is no longer necessary to deny that these advanced technologies derived from non-human intelligence exist at all, or to deny that these technologies have landed, crashed, or fallen into the hands of human beings." That is U.S. Intelligence Officer Jonathan Gray with the National Air and Space Intelligence Center. I cannot believe this is happening in my lifetime. Like, for real. I'm so gobsmacked.
So here's what I'm going to comment on. I have been noticing, not just with this story, but with other stories during the last 6 months, there are more and more government officials that are just popping their heads out of the ground and saying, hey, there actually may be some people looking at us. You know, I saw this one article where it said, if you're approached by something that you're suspicious of, and I'm talking about a creature that looks like a human, it probably if it is an alien, will not sound like a human. It will sound aggressive and mean. This does sound like a big deal. I agree with you.
Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Keene are the two journalists who broke the Navy fighter Tic Tac pilot video story on the front page of the New York Times. And they have, I subscribe to their newsletter. It's called The Intelligence Debrief. And they did a lengthy report on this. I'll tell you why I think you're not seeing it. Now I'm going to sound, hang on, I got to get my tinfoil hat on. Now I'm going to sound like a lunatic, but here's why I think you're not seeing it. Because you know what drives clicks in media?
Yep.
Political division. You know what doesn't drive clicks in media? Anything else. And, you know, I said yesterday, late yesterday afternoon to Max, I'm like, why are we talking about anything else? Now, granted, there's a lot of other wild stuff
Taylor
going
Swift.
On in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Or where the like, Royals go to high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why is Taylor Swift and Matty Healy breaking up a bigger story than this? And you know what? Listen, folks, you believe what you want to believe. Some of y'all believe that Miracle Whip is food. I'm not here to change your mind.
Right.
But you know, I am here to present you with some information that isn't about Vanderpump Rules, because you can get that anywhere. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's straight right. Ahead, we got a round of Bob and Sherry Small Plates. This is Bob and Sherry. Bob and Sherry's Small Plates is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates, and let's start out with this one. What do Europeans think are the greatest three things that America gave to the world? We could sit around here for a long, long time.
Rock and roll?
Yeah.
Rock and
guess
roll?
Guess at it. See, that's a good one right there. Let me give you the three, and then we can discuss, you know, if they're right or they're wrong. Their three in Europe are Coca-Cola, the television show Friends, and hamburgers. Those three things. Coca-Cola, Friends, and hamburgers. I mean, the first thing that popped up in my mind was, what about the iPhone? I mean, it's a very impressive.
Well,
you know,
we're not
going to
get credit for rock and roll because the Stones and the Beatles were British, right? So we're not going to get credit. Yes, and I know you're going to say Chuck Berry, but we're still not going to get credit for rock and roll. I'm surprised nobody said movies.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Yeah. I would have thought rock and roll would be up there. Just American music over the last 100 years, it's dominated the world, really, when you get down to it, except for the Beatles era. But what are some other things? Those three things, by the way, I wouldn't have picked Friends. I might have gone with Seinfeld or The Tonight Show or just, you know, some classic television shows. Not that Friends isn't. I just wouldn't have picked that one. But the whole concept of hamburgers and Coca-Cola, you know, I'm not saying they're for you, but they are delicious.
We did invent that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. All right. Here are some of the most puzzling questions that people struggle with. Let's see how many we know. The first one is, what is an NFT? An NFT. How do you describe an NFT?
Well, I'm looking at it. NFT stands for non-fungible token.
Right.
And it's basically the unique digital representation of either a real world physical object or a virtual object that is unique and created as an NFT.
You know, that is almost exactly the explanation that I'm looking at here. Non-fungible tokens, generally digital art pieces or music that can be bought or traded online. And I still think it's a ripoff, and I don't care what anybody says.
I left off the rest of the definition because the rest of the definition is according to my husband, and I can't repeat most of it.
What exactly is a black hole? How would you describe a black hole?
In space? A black hole in space or a black hole in the CEO's office? Which one? Which definition
well,
are you looking
the
for?
Black hole in the CEO's office can never be explained. So let's just pick the one in space.
The black hole in space, it's like this singularity where something of immense density has collapsed and it has so much gravitational pull that even light can't escape it.
Exactly. Its gravity pull is just so strong it sucks everything into it. That's basically what it is. How are interest rates set?
Listen, I can explain an NFT and a black hole, but interest rates and mortgages, no.
By the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, I guess it's the cost. It's related to the cost of borrowing money. It goes up and down. That's the best that I can come up with. What is the solar system? These are questions that people struggle with. What is the solar system?
The solar system is the constellation. Well, this, in our case, in the Milky Way galaxy, our solar system is the star that we call the sun and the planets that orbit it.
Right.
And the, and that forms a system,
and
we and their moons, right? And we occasionally let Pluto be a planet. And then we say it's not a planet, then it is a planet.
Right.
Pluto is the hokey pokey of planets. It puts its bad self in. It takes its bad self out. Right.
That's, it's not
that's
a planet.
That's basically
anymore.
A solar system.
Yeah,
I
never got
it'll
over the fact
planet.
That it was not a planet.
Let's
see. What do we? Here's the next one here, and this is the most troubling and perplexing of them all. How much protein should I eat?
I just read this morning while I was getting ready for the show to start that you should eat a moderate protein diet. It's like the secret to longevity.
What is that, though? What is the moderate protein
diet?
Oh,
like in grams or whatever? I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. But what, do you think it would be like a small piece of chicken or a small piece of beef if you're a beef eater? And just not a great big old steak.
They say your protein should be the size of a deck of cards or the palm of your hand, but I don't know what that is in like weight.
Right. You know, a steak the size of a deck of cards is still $65 at Ruth's Chris. You know, so. What is my dog thinking about is another puzzling question. I puzzle about that every day when I look at it. I go, just what are you thinking about right now? What's going to make you happy? What can I do? And here's one that I don't know anybody can really answer that. What are the rules of modern dating?
Oh, I think it depends.
Do you want to hear what an expert's a therapist's analysis of that is today? According to this, the do's and don'ts, you should not kiss until the second date or connect on Facebook until at least the third date, and don't even dream of getting frisky before the fourth date.
Okay. I mean, that sounds just like
it sounds
sensible.
Like life. It sounds like life,
yeah.
Pretty much, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Whether you agree with it or not, it sounds like life.
This Saturday, it's La Barbecue 2023. We're going to be hanging with the People's Movie Critic at his camper with his plastic flamingos and pineapples and his real live poodle and Mrs. Lamar. This Saturday, starting at 6:30 Eastern on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
We're going to be grilling some delicious sausages like you have never seen or tasted before from Carol's Sausage and Country Store. We'll be showing you how to create their delicious slather burger served up by our very own grill master, Mr. Lamar. LaMarBecue 23 is fed by Carol's Sausage and Country Store. Create your own delicious barbecue at carolsausage.com.
Leave us a talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Isn't it funny that when you know that you have guests coming, all of a sudden you decide to, you know, clean the house up, finish up some stuff that has just been hanging around. My sister and her daughter, my niece, are coming to visit Mary and me in a couple of weeks. And I haven't seen either one of them, believe it or not, in several years. My sister has been all over the world with her husband, South Korea, Colorado, Florida, they've moved a lot. And I haven't seen my niece in 4 or 5 years. And she's grown up now. And so all of a sudden I find myself getting a hold of a carpenter guy to finish the back deck, which has been falling apart in certain areas. After a while, I don't even see it. And then part of the yard was a mess because the grass died when it was really, really hot and humid a summer ago. And I'm out there scraping up, you know, dirt and putting down new sod. you sometimes have got to have a guest coming to visit in order to get some stuff done in your house. You, seriously.
It's true.
I mean, Christmas time is another time. If you're going to have people over for a Christmas party or relatives or whatever, you know, you've got all of a sudden, you know, the door to the guest room bathroom never did close. We've got to do something about that. Or your towel situations. You've been using the same ratty towels for the past 10 years. And they're kind of okay, but there's not much left of them. They're basically rags. We've got to get a couple of new towels because people are coming. And you don't want them talking, you don't want them talking dirty about you. Like they go home and they go, well, how was your visit with Bob? Well, the backyard, you know, looked like a junkyard, to be honest with you. And the towel was like something that you would, I don't know, clean your car with. Other than that, it was nice seeing him.
I can't imagine anybody would really say that. Like, oh, I really was happy to see my brother, but those towels, yikes. Look, what kind of person would say that?
I think people would. Yes, they would. Yes, they would. They're very judgmental. Thankfully, I'm not. So anyway, backyard's looking a little bit better. I hope that new grass comes in. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10. Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is talk back time, and if you like talking on the phone, you can call us at 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. Or you can grab our app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store. And when you look at the screen, you'll see a little microphone in the bottom center. Just tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, I have a question. Why do girls take a long time to do makeup and dress, but why don't boys just take a short amount of time? Thank you, and this is Haley.
Oh, Haley.
So sweet. Yeah. And that is such an interesting question because we've talked about, I mean, I've talked about how I just think it's so wrong that women will get all dressed up to go out to dinner or to go to a party or whatever. And the guy shows up with a, you know, a t-shirt from a band that's 10 years old, that guys have become just so casual. And there's a child version of that question right there.
Well, sweetie, because in our world, women are required to like add a whole extra face to their face. And as Uncle Bob just said, men are required to find a clean Aerosmith t-shirt on the floor. And it's unfair, but so much of life is. And it doesn't make sense, but so much of life won't. And so it's just the way. But you know what? You and your generation can break that. You can change that paradigm. You can show up on a date just with the beautiful face and hair that God gave you and a t-shirt that hopefully is clean that you found on the floor. Wouldn't it be a better world if we could all either put all the effort in or put none of the effort in and have it be equal? I think so.
I think it's better. I mean, little boys are not going to spend very much time looking better, but I do think it would be better if those of us, and I'm guilty too, would dress up a little more, especially when our wives or girlfriends are. All right, let's hear the next one.
Next.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, Max, Doc. This is Michael from Utah. I was just listening to the podcast from the 25th, and during Small Plates, Bob set it up, and he said, I'm going to review the top three dad jokes. They rank them every year, and Father's Day's not that far out, so I'm going to give them to you. Here are the top three. And both Sherry and Max said, hey, we thought you were doing one and moving on to another plate, and you need to be more clear, mister. Now, I know Bob doesn't get a lot of wins, so I wanted to make sure that he got this one. Bob, you did an excellent job setting it up, and they should have listened better. Love you guys so much. The show's amazing. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Boy, all the people in Utah are so nice. No, I don't. I gave, you know, you guys the opportunity, and you're going to be denied because of that. Denied!
Oh, I'm so punished. I'm such a bad girl.
I'll do a few. I'll do a few. Okay, I'll do a few. How do you get a squirrel's attention? Act like a nut. What did one volcano say to the other? I lava you. How do mice floss their teeth? With string cheese. How do you cook a crocodile in a crock pot? What did the earthquake say when it was done? Sorry, my fault. I could go on and on, but I'm sensing you'd like me to end right here.
More.
Oh. What do pigs use to clean up? Hogwash. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and summer wasn't bad either.
I like that one.
Did you hear about the broken guitar for sale? It comes with no strings attached.
Oh, that's so dead.
Because it's broken. Yeah.
Why did the computer catch cold? It left a window open.
And got a virus. Thank you.
Hey. It's fun, isn't it? Uh-huh. And finally, did you hear about the guy who drank invisible ink? He's at the hospital waiting to be seen. And there you go. Happy Father's Day, which is
those
right
were good.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Invisible ink. Does any kid think about invisible ink these days? That was a big thing when I was a kid. Ah, some invisible ink. I'm gonna write something and it's gonna then go away. I swear that's what happened to some of my compositions that I turned in. Anyway, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Bob and Sherry Show with Lamar joining us right now. Hey, Lamar, how are you?
I'm excellent.
Good. So I read this article about kids in the summertime and what their hopes and sometimes expectations, but at least hopes are. I want to read it to you, and then I want you to tell us what you think of it and how it compares to when you were a child. What was the town you were raised in Georgia?
Hartwell, Georgia.
Hartwell, Georgia. Okay. Well, kids today say that the summer should include the following things: 5 pool parties, 3 road trips, and 5 trips to the beach, plus 8 hours of playtime each day, 3 trips to amusement parks, and 5 new toys to play with. How does that stack up to when you were a kid?
It is almost identical. It really is. It is uncanny how close it is. Because when I was very small, I would spend the summers hanging out with my grandmother and granddaddy. They had a house that was like right beside where our single wide trailer was. And sometimes I'd spend the night or whatever. But this was back when they had no bathroom in the house. So probably one of my things would have been for that summer was to have an actual bathroom. But they had an outhouse about 50 yards back behind the house. And I don't know why it had 2 seats in it. I don't know why, not seats. It was big, it was holes cut into the boards. Why it had 2 seats? I can't imagine there's 2 people sitting next to you. I don't know.
But no, I've heard about that.
Yeah. And when I spent the night, they had what they called a slop jar, which is a chamber pot underneath the bed if you had to go to the bathroom. That kept you from walking 50 yards out in the dark in the woods. So that was, you know, but I learned a lot.
Boy, that's a long way from Six Flags.
I learned a lot because my grandmother, she taught me, she would show me every time that we ate chicken, she would show me how to catch a chicken and kill it and pluck it. It was a fresh chicken. They had a fresh chicken every time. I looked at the skill. I witnessed it. I never actually used it. So I'm not so sure if you gave me a chicken, if I could do it, but I was exposed to it anyway. And we had a barn back behind the house. It was a big old barn. It had upstairs and down. And I spent a lot of time there making forts with bales of hay and, you know, playing all this stuff and jumping out. I don't know why I didn't break a leg. I don't know. But nobody's paying any attention. So I'm jumping out of the barn. But I got obsessed with fire. And I would build little bitty fires with the loose straw. And when I look back on this, how I kept from burning down the barn, I do not know. I really.
There's sometimes kid magic. There's kid magic that we would do something and it made no sense. And danger, like the burning of the barn was everywhere. But somehow with kid magic, it turned out okay.
I missed it. Of course, a lot of tree climbing and building tree houses and whatever. But now, as I got a little bit older, I would go to work with my mom at the lunch counter at the drugstore. And I would wait tables at lunch when the ladies from the sewing plant came in to eat. And I would get tips, you know, and I'd tell them stories and stuff and bring them their sandwiches. And I made a little extra money doing that. But
How old were you when you're doing that?
Probably 10. 10, 11, around in that age right there. And they didn't, you know, they would ask me all kinds of stupid questions. I remember it was a great time, though. It was a really great time.
But, and I bet that restaurant had a fancy flush toilet. Yeah.
Yes, they did. But now, when I got up a little bit older, I got a motorcycle. Once I got the motorcycle, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., I was gone. I was gone. And I might be in the backwoods. We had about 100 acres, and I might be back there something. Or if I hooked up with somebody else, we'd be on the back roads, on the dirt roads. And we were everywhere. My mom had no idea. She knew, though, at 5 o'clock, I'd come home to eat. And, it was a crazy time.
When you say motorcycle, was that like a dirt bike or an actual motorcycle?
No, it was a dirt bike. It was a dirt bike.
Yeah,
dirt bike is an actual. Yeah, it was a dirt bike. And I mean, we went, it had a buddy of mine had one. We went everywhere. Just crazy. We didn't have a swimming pool anywhere close, but we had Coldwater Creek and it had them slick rocks on it. And I mean, you would fall and crack your head open. And it was just. I don't know how you survived it back then. I really don't.
Kid magic. Don't. It's kid magic is what it is.
Be.
Wow.
It must be.
That is a long way from 5 pool parties, 3 road trips, 5 trips to the beach, and 6 flags 3 times.
Honest to gosh, though, I wouldn't swap it. I wouldn't swap it for that list. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't swap it.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Hey,
very good.
Tomorrow, the People's Movie Critic joins us with his review of FUBAR, Schwarzenegger's new show on Netflix. That's FUBAR tomorrow. And he loves
it.
He's my
man.
Movie Critic. And don't forget, speaking of Lamar and the People's Movie Critic, it's LaMarBQ 2023 this Saturday night live Facebook. We're going to start about 6:30. So be on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page for LaMarBQ 23 this Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Bring your color to life.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
I believe this.
Did you know that America came very, very close to becoming a nation of hippo ranchers so that we would have plentiful cheap meat? And that meat, of course, would be hippopotamus meat, which they called lake cow bacon. Lake cow bacon.
Because I love Madison Avenue. It's great.
It apparently tastes like a cross between beef and pork. So this is one of the craziest true stories, right? So back in 1884, there was a thing in New Orleans called the Cotton States Exposition, and the water hyacinth plant debuted at this expo in 1884. glossy dark green leaves, delicate purple flowers. The water hyacinth came from the Amazon, and this was going to be like the rage in gardening. And people were being, if you went to this expo in New Orleans, they gave you water hyacinths for free. But what they didn't know was that the plant is actually a vicious marauder that chokes out the things that are supposed to be growing. It's a really malevolent plant. It spread first in Louisiana and then in Florida. And within two decades, it had overtaken waterways across the southern part of the country.
It's sort of like kudzu, huh? Yeah.
They tried everything to get rid of it. They broke the plants apart. They dredged them from the riverbanks. They soaked them in gasoline and set them ablaze. They didn't just survive. They thrived. It was a battle that the farmers and the Department of Interior couldn't win. And right around the same time, suddenly meat became very expensive. Meat packers said that it's grain prices. They're too high, and cattle shortages. And butchers blamed the meat packers, and everyone else blamed the nation's biggest meat packing companies for like price gouging and profiteering. And that's when an elected official in Louisiana named Robert F. Broussard said in March of 1910, "We need to become a nation of hippo ranchers." He laid out the American Hippo Bill in Congress. He said, what we do is we import the hippos from Africa. They eat water hyacinths. When the animals are all fattened up on water hyacinths, because your average hippo weighs somewhere between 3,000 and 10,000 pounds, then we eat them. And even the New York Times got on board and said, yeah, 1 million tons of lake cow bacon? You betcha. There's no reason we can't find a place in the United States to become hippo ranchers. And then they talked about, yeah, if we're bringing the hippos in, let's bring some antelopes and some rhinos and some Tibetan yaks and some Manchurian pigs. We don't need to be so dependent on hogs and cattle. And so Broussard got a bunch of experts together and had them help him create this hippo ranching bill. And he said that, and if you know, politics are great, because he said that anyone who didn't want to be a hippo rancher was just simple-minded, right? That hippo ranching is the way to go. And other people agreed, including Theodore Roosevelt, who, you know, was a big-time hunter. He was like, oh, yeah, we should be eating hippos, and they're also delicious. So if the hippo bill had been passed, no American, no matter how poor, would ever eat a meatless meal again. They said that for about $8 million in today's dollars, it was $250,000 then, but $8 million in today's dollar, we could fill unoccupied public lands with hippo ranches. And it almost happened, except, you know, what kept us from this hippo ranching thing? It almost happened, but we got distracted by like World War I, and then Broussard died. And since he was the champion of the hippo bill, it kind of died with him. And there was nobody there to really,
in a way, if you're a nobody
there to really fight for it.
The idea that they were consuming these aggressive plants, that they liked these plants, I mean, that takes care of one problem. And then, of course, if you're a meat eater, and I had no idea that hippo meat was any good, that would, I guess, be good, too. They're one of the most aggressive animals on the face of the earth.
Oh, they're dangerous. I mean,
they are scary, dangerous. So herding up a big old herd of hippos, that's going to take a special cowboy.
Listen to this. So Broussard, who was the hippo, he was the big promoter of American hippo ranching. He didn't even complete his term in the Senate. He had a long illness and he died. And by the time he died in 1918, Americans were already used to going without butter and coffee because of the war. They were already used to rationing. And so there was nobody there to talk about hippos. So hippos went away. But more than 100 years later, we still have a problem with water hyacinth. Do you know that since 1975, Louisiana has spent over $125 million to try to deal with water hyacinths?
I had no idea.
Maybe it's time to look at hippo ranching again. Maybe it's time for lake cow bacon to make its debut on the American menu.
Can I be honest? The first thing that comes to my mind when I hear the word hippo is one that is dancing in a cartoon with two or three really big teeth. Big round teeth.
Well, that's our whole idea of them, right?
Yeah,
and because our idea of hippos are dancing and smiling in ballerina tutus, we don't realize that the last place you want to find yourself is falling into a hippo-infested river.
Because
they will eat you.
They will. They're very aggressive.
So there you go, folks.
Yeah.
You had bacon for breakfast today instead of hippo because this poor man died before he could make his dream come true. We'll post this up on Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Every once in a while, you know, you just are in a bad mood and you say, I'm going to put TV on. I'm going to watch something I've already seen. I'm going to watch a movie I liked. I don't care if I've seen it five times. I've stumbled upon a collection of people's favorite comfort movies of all time, and I'm just going to burn through and see if you agree. We're going to start out with what I think is overall the funniest movie I've ever seen, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I just loved that movie. You and I were on a cruise to Alaska with our listeners, and it was playing, it had just been released, playing on the ship and the ship's theater, and I saw it 2 days in a row. I thought it was so funny. Number two, Shrek. Right after that,
yep.
Twister, because it's so interesting to watch. Back to the Future, all of them. Back to the Future. Shawshank Redemption, which is, I think, one of Max's favorite movies of all time. So Ratatouille, kids love that. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? I was kind of surprised that that was in there. It's a great movie, but it's... would you call that a feel-good movie? I don't know that I would. School of Rock is in there. 10 Things I Hate About You. The Mummy. Jurassic Park. Hot Fuzz, which I have not seen.
It's very funny and stupid.
Is it funny?
Yeah.
Funny and stupid. Legally Blonde. You couldn't stop Elle Woods, could you? The Princess Diaries, Cool Runnings, Galaxy Quest, The Lord of the Rings is in there, along with all of the Harry Potter movies, and I'll end up with Clueless, which every once in a while will pop up on one of my platforms, and I have to watch it, especially the scene where she's driving the Jeep down a road that is too crowded and she's taking out rearview mirrors left and right. Those are comfort movies we all love. I agree.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Eileen.
Hi.
How are you?
Eileen, hi.
I'm great.
And you spell your name, how do you spell your name, Eileen?
Y-S-L-I-E.
Y-S-L-I-E. Wiley.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
So what do you
Like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, I got that in school a lot.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean... That's the only other Wiley that I know.
No, she's not Wiley. She's Eileen.
Yeah, Eileen.
Oh, Eileen.
But I dated Chris Wiley in school, and they all made fun of us.
Because you would have been Eileen Wiley.
Eileen Wiley. That would have been a great name. Eileen Wiley.
But I have Baggett now, so I get a lot of fun out of that one, too.
Eileen Baggett?
Eileen Baggett.
Yeah. That's good.
That's your last name, Baggett?
It sounds like something you can get, you know, a cosmetic injection for.
Yeah.
I thought she said she had baggage, and I'm like, don't we all?
Yeah. Don't come around
Baggett.
Here with
that. Eileen Baggett.
Hi, this is Sherry Lynch, and I'd look in the mirror and see Eileen Baggett, and I said to myself, I don't feel like Eileen Baggett.
I'm Dr. Roffler, and we took care of her Eileen Baggett without any problem at all. During a lunch break, she went back to work and looked better than ever.
My friends keep saying to me, did you get a new hairstyle, a new haircut? And I say, no, no more Eiley Baggetts.
Thanks to me, Dr. Roffler. She did it on a lunch break.
Now, what do you and Mr. Baggetts compete at, Eiley?
Fixing things.
For instance?
I'm a power tool nut.
Really?
And I love to use my tools.
Wow.
Well, we were truck drivers, and there was a tree that blew down in our yard.
Yeah.
It'd been down for 2 weeks before we came home, and we were only home for like 4 days.
Mm-hmm. So you drive together, I guess.
Yeah. I'm off for a year to make sure my son gets into a good college, but he's still driving.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got out in the garage, and I thought, well, I can use my my handsaw, you know, and try and get some of the smaller limbs. Well, that just made me mad. So I went to Lowe's and got me a chainsaw.
Wow.
So I'm out there in the yard cutting the tree down. He's sitting at the computer desk watching. He said, you made me feel bad. So he come out and he helped me. So, I mean, not only that, you know, just he busted the water line beside our garage, and I'm mowing the yard. And instead of coming over to help him, I went and got the cutoff to the water, went up to the road, and we had 5 acres. And went up there and turned the main water off and helped him fix the water line and fix the hole in the floor, you know, start pulling the carpet back and stuff like that and fixing it. And he said, oh, you made me feel bad. So I let him cut the wood to put in the hole to fix it.
Eiley Baggetts, you're the sort of woman that tamed the West.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I were to go out, if I were back in pioneer days and I was going to go challenge the West, yeah, that's likely. I would need a woman like you, Eiley Baggetts.
Oh, I love to fix things and build things.
It was women like Eiley Baggetts that tamed the frontier for sure.
That's exactly
yeah.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't have some namby-pamby helpless creature out there on the plains. You needed Eiley.
Now, Eiley, I have to say that if I were on the computer and I saw you with your chainsaw taking apart that tree, The obvious thing to do is what your husband did, come out and help. I would have stayed on the computer and planned a very nice vacation for the two of us somewhere, you know, in a warm weather destination for the winter. Because I think that's my time better served. You seem to be doing a good job with the tree. I would give you that satisfaction to take that tree apart. And I would make sure that I just picked the greatest places for us to go.
Well, we've been to a lot of great places. I mean, you know, we're truck drivers, so, you know.
Yeah.
Right. You probably would have done very well with a woman like Eiley Baggetts, and she would have done very well with a man like you. No competition,
really? Right?
She's out there with the chainsaw. You're chilling the Chardonnay. No competition between you. Complementary skills.
Any
and
other
talents.
Way you could put it outside of no competition?
No,
you know what I mean?
No competition. You don't want
to. There's no competition. Oh, with Bob, there's no competition.
You don't want to go out.
Don't worry
and use
about
power
competing.
Tools,
if you're
right?
with Bob, don't worry about competing. You know,
I never asked him to help me.
Yeah.
Just did, you know, but I'm better at fixing things, but he's better at backing the big truck back. I take more time backing.
So you're helping your son get into college right now?
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, he's a computer nut, and I hope he'll go far. You know, he writes his own programs, and
wow.
he's into Linux and Ubuntu. A lot of them don't know
what
those programs are, but they're...
And you're helping him with, like, his
application or
forms and all of that?
Yeah, this is all new for me. I'm kind of dumb when it comes to trying to, you know.
I don't think you're dumb at anything.
I think you'll figure it out.
I know you will.
Yeah.
Eiley Baggetts. Yeah. Well, you know.
Paracool, we'll travel.
Eiley, the only thing surprising about your whole story was that you didn't already have a chainsaw.
Yeah, I know.
That you had to go to Lowe's and get one.
Yeah.
Well, I've got all kinds of, you know, saws. I got a scroll saw, a table saw, band saw. Handsaw, a jigsaw, sanders.
You know, the closest I'm going to get to a saw this year, I'm going out with Meredith's kids to the corn maze, and some guy's going to jump out of the corn maze with a chainsaw and scare the hell out of me. That's going to be it. Yeah.
The rest of them, the closest they're going to get is to go watch the movie Saw.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing that either. Eiley, have a great day today, and thank you for being a listener.
Thank you.
All right, take care. You know, I could see myself with a woman like that, building a good life on about 50 acres.
You'd go stir crazy.
I go out of my mind after about 1 week.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Does your dad have a catchphrase?
You know, something that he just throws out all the time because he thinks people need to be aware. Like mine was, nobody was ever a success working 40 hours a week. And that's why I try to work a lot less. So if you have one of those, share it with us. Will you share it with us? Share a photo of your dad and his best go-to saying or his catchphrase at bobandsherry.com. We want to read it on the air. The winner will receive a $200 gift certificate for a Carol's Meet My Dad Butcher Box, and he is going to love that. Once again, let's hear that catchphrase at bobandsherry.com.
One of my favorite things in the world is to stumble across some little behind-the-scenes fact of something that happened in a movie that either made it into the final movie or that you had no idea was going on. Like when James Cameron re-released Titanic in 3D, which you may have not realized was a thing that happened, by the way. Did you know that Cameron put out a 3D
Titanic? I remember
hearing
something about it, but I didn't embrace it very much.
Yeah, it was in honor of the 100th anniversary of the tragedy where Titanic sank. So he changed the scene where Rose is on the door in the middle of the ocean, not because everybody said that Jack could fit on the door. He changed the scene because Cameron said that he got a really snarky letter from the astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. And Neil deGrasse Tyson said to James Cameron, oh, by the way, the sky in the scene with Rose on the door is inaccurate. That is not the star field that Rose would have seen in the Atlantic Ocean that night.
Are you kidding me?
So James Cameron, who is a mad crazy perfectionist, said to Neil deGrasse Tyson, oh yeah? Well, what would she have seen on April 15th, 1912 at 4:20 a.m.? And deGrasse Tyson did the star chart for what the sky would have looked like on April 15th, 1942 at 4:20 a.m.
That's amazing.
Sent it to James Cameron, and they reshot the sky scene so that the star field would be historically accurate.
That's very cool, actually.
I think so. Don't you love knowing something like that? Okay, so now let's jump to another fun fact from the movie Django Unchained. Django Unchained is a Quentin Tarantino film. It is extremely violent. There's more blood in Django Unchained, I think, than in any movie I've ever seen. It's violent. The language is rough. It is not for everybody. It's probably not for a lot of people listening right now. It stars Jamie Foxx and Leonardo DiCaprio and, the actor, the Austrian actor, Max, help me.
Christoph Waltz?
Christoph Waltz, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's a very funny guy. I saw him interviewed the other day. He's very funny.
So there's a scene in Django Unchained where Leonardo DiCaprio's character, his name is Calvin Candy, and he owns a plantation, and he's this rich, swaggering, obnoxious, evil plantation owner. And he gets really angry, and he takes his hand, and he slams it down on the table, and he breaks a glass, and he injures his hand. Well, when they were filming that, DiCaprio really did break the glass, and he cut his hand very, very badly in the process, but he stayed in character. He didn't betray it. He stayed in character, and he continued the scene, and Tarantino said he was so impressed that DiCaprio stayed in character that he kept it in the film's final cut. And if you remember the movie, there's a part of the movie where DiCaprio, his blood is all over his hand, and he wipes that blood on the face of the actress Kerry Washington. DiCaprio just improvised that. And Tarantino was like, yeah, we're keeping that.
That's pretty cool.
I know you've seen Django, Max. Have you seen Django, Bob? It's rough.
I have not because, I read the reviews or...
It's not,
I don't think Lamar reviewed it, but we were talking about it. It's way too much violence.
It's not a Bob movie.
It's really not. I know you. There's a lot of Tarantino that you like, but this would not be one of them. Okay, one more, and then we'll break. Did you know that in every Pixar movie, every single Pixar movie that's ever been made, if you look for it, you can find the Pizza Express delivery truck. Pizza Planet, I'm sorry. The Pizza Planet delivery truck somewhere in the film. It's a little Easter egg. It's an inside joke between all the animators. When Pixar was starting out, they would work these long, long hours. Like, they would sleep on the floor of their offices, and they lived off of pizza from a nearby restaurant that would deliver, called Pizza Planet. So they put Pizza Planet in the first Pixar movie that they did together. And then they started putting it in every movie to remind everybody that works at Pixar of how tough they had it when they first started out.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
It's very cool. Yeah. So now when you're watching a Pixar movie with the kids, be on the lookout for the Pizza Planet truck. It's in every single one, I promise.
I'm going to do
it. It's Bob and Sherry. I saw something that surprised me so hard that I thought maybe I misunderstood it. So I went back and I read it again. And then I read it out loud. And then I read it to my daughter to make sure that I had heard it right. Now, I'm going to read it to you and tell me if this surprises you. 93% of engaged couples, 93%, consider it rude to not include their dog or dogs in their wedding. 93%.
Wow.
And now, I love a dog at a wedding. I like a doggy ring bearer. I like a doggy flower girl. However, you know, your dog is involved. I think a dog in a tuxedo or a little crown or whatever, I love a dog in a wedding. But does the number 93% seem really high to you?
It does seem high, but I also, do you have an age category of these people who are getting married? Okay.
No, but I imagine if you're thinking about first-time marriages, you're looking at people in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Gen Zs, I just read this the other day, and of course Gen Zs are people born between roughly 97 and 2012, are putting off getting married because of the expense of getting married. And instead of having children, because they're very expensive, not all, but a fair amount, more so than previous generations, they are getting pets. The amount of pets because of COVID and what I just described, they're up like 10% over a previous few years. 10% doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. And so I believe that once they do say, well, we're going to get married, that a pet, a dog, or maybe a cat could be involved in the ceremony. Landon had Finn when he was he was about 2 years old, and he did a great job. You were there.
93%. And there were, so I'm reading this and I was like, wow, that's like almost everyone. That's so high. I'm not sure 93% of Americans can get together and agree that water is wet. Honestly, like, for 93% of people to be like, oh yeah, the dog is definitely in the wedding. So of course, this little fun fact was accompanied by do's and don'ts for having your dog in the wedding. And my favorite, and by the way, the do's and don'ts are exactly what you can imagine they would be. Like, right off the top of your head, you know what the do's and don'ts are. My favorite was, make sure that you have a place and a plan for the dog to have a potty break. Can I tell you?
Exactly. Oh, that's great. Yeah, let's not worry about it. He'll go right in front of grandma there. Stop it. You need to. I tell you what, you need to have a dog wrangler if the dog is going to be in the wedding.
Well, that's what that was one of the suggestions. It needs to be somebody, close friend, family member, member of the wedding party, who is the dog's point person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there were all these tips and tricks about, you know, dressing the dog and feeding the dog and all of that. And between that and the post-wedding chop, which is the other big trend right now in weddings. You guys might not know about this because you're men.
I don't. What is that?
So the bride has like this beautiful, her hair in an updo or a messy bun or whatever for the wedding. And then at the reception, she cuts it off. Like, she shows up at her reception with her hair cut with a completely different hairstyle. It's called the wedding chop.
So it's mostly for women, I guess, who have kind of long hair.
Well, longish. I mean, there was one woman I read about. She grew her hair out because she wanted to. She has like kind of short hair, and she wanted to have more of a traditional kind of an updo situation for her wedding dress. And then they leave the church and they go to the wedding venue, and she changes into her reception dress and gets a haircut. But she did the haircut in front of everyone. Had the stylist.
I don't know how I feel about that. How do you, as a woman, how do you feel about that? I mean, it's in one way, it's saying like, well, my fun days of youth are gone. I've got to be a housewife now, or I'm going to be a working mom or somebody's wife. I don't know how I feel about that.
Here's how I feel. First of all, the thought of getting married again. But the thought of getting married again and having to have multiple dresses and a haircut in the middle of it.
It's a lot.
Why not? Is there any way that the dentist can come? Maybe I can do some x-rays. Is the OBGYN here? Like, well, it's too much. It's too much. Yeah. It's too much for me. But I'm very much team put the dogs and cats and sugar gliders and whatever else you have in the wedding.
You have to be honest about your pet. If he or she is a good dog, and we all know what a good dog is, one that follows, at least a few commands, that's fine. If you've got a crazy dog, though, I mean, it's just going to be, kind of dicey, right?
Well, you certainly don't want, the little ring bear getting hauled off, in the mouth of the hound.
I wonder what churches think about having dogs come into the church, because I don't know.
Probably not too much.
I'm thinking that they don't like that.
Yeah, probably not too much. You're right. Landon's wedding was outside, so it wasn't an issue. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Father's Day is just around the corner. And what better way to celebrate than by sharing a story about your dad?
Hey, Pop, I love you.
What makes your dad unique? His sense of humor, his cooking skills, or his unwavering support?
You world's best father.
Share your funny or touching story with us, and you could win a $200 gift certificate for a Carol's Meet My Dad Butcher Box.
Thanks, Dad. I feel better.
To submit your story, just go to bobandsherry.com. Hit the contest tab from Carol's Meet My Dad and Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
All right, it's wedding season, and we were just talking about dogs at weddings. So how's this for a shocking fact? 40% of people who attended a wedding in the past 5 years, not got married in a wedding or through a wedding, they just were guests at a wedding. 40% of them went into debt just to be the guest at a wedding. What's wrong with this picture? But think about it.
Everything.
You've got the gift, the clothes. If it's out of town, you have travel and hotel. It might be really out of town, and then it gets really expensive. But 40%? That's almost half of the wedding guests in America went into debt. Here's another shocker. The average cost of a wedding has gone up $1,000 over the last year. It's now the average wedding is now $29,000. Unless you live in Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, very expensive cities, where the average wedding, Bob, average is over $45,000.
It's just, when you just listen to the numbers, particularly when you hear that a lot of Americans, can't pay for a car repair cash when they need it. And you hear something like that, you just go, when does the madness stop? It's just so much money. $25,000 is a nice down payment on a house.
$45,000 is like a yearly salary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea of going into debt, but what happens?
It.
Like, you're in your right mind until you're engaged and planning your wedding. And then like some crazy
all
thing happens and
off.
Hijacks right. your brain. And now you have to have hand-blown mason jars with your monogram on them to put organic daisies in. It's just nuts, the things that we do. But for guests, to ask your guests to go into debt, that's crazy. It's Bob and Sherry. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.